your Bibles, please. Turn to the book of Proverbs, Proverbs chapter 31 this morning. Proverbs chapter 31, we're going to read one verse, Proverbs 31, verse 1 this morning. As our custom is, I'll read aloud as you read along silently, and then we'll read together the second time through in unison. That's Proverbs chapter 31 and verse 1. As you're finding your place in honor of the Word of God, if you're able this morning, would you please stand to your feet? Proverbs chapter 31 and verse 1. The words of King Lemuel, the prophecy that his mother taught him. Now let's read together. The words of King Lemuel, the prophecy that his mother taught him. Father, I pray that you would bless the preaching from the Word of God this morning. What a special day, Father. What a great time to honor those that have cared for us, brought us into this world, cared for us. God, help us to accomplish that better as husbands, fathers, children today. Use the Word of God to help us and also to honor our dear mothers. Lord, do a work in our lives today. Father, if there's someone here that does not know Christ, we pray that you'd work on that heart this morning and they would receive Christ, whether in this auditorium or on the internet this morning. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated.
As you're being seated now, I'm going to ask that you sit and listen very carefully for just a few moments. I have a message that's geared toward moms, but as always, the message will not just be for mothers, it'll be for all of us, and I think you'll see that in just a moment. Proverbs, it's a book about life. It's a book about wisdom. It is a book God gave to Solomon, who was king of Israel, wisest, richest, wealthiest man of his day or any day for that fact. And in Proverbs, Solomon is teaching his teenage son, Rehoboam, about life. By the way, you ought to read a chapter of Proverbs every day of your life because it's a life book. It covers everything from diet to relationships to business decisions. You name it, it's in this book. It's a fascinating book, to be honest with you. But in Proverbs 31, if you'll notice, King Lemuel is mentioned here. And I'll tell you who that is in a moment. Well, I'll tell you who it is now. It's Solomon. It's a nickname his mother had given him. Solomon's mother's name was Bathsheba. If you know your Bibles, you know that Bathsheba was a woman who had a bit of a past. And in her life, she came to marry Solomon's dad, King David. And we won't go into all the details of her past, but she and David had done things they should not do, and there was a situation there. Solomon came along later between David and Bathsheba. But his mother, Bathsheba, had given him this name, Lemuel. I'll tell you what it means in a minute. But here's Solomon talking to his son, and Solomon saying, now, son, let me tell you something that my mother taught me. Do you ever do that? You ever say, here's what my mother taught me? And it's interesting because the word prophecy is used in this verse. Did you notice that? The words of King Lemuel, the prophecy that his mother taught him. We think a prophecy is prediction. Well, mothers can predict things like, I brought you into this world, I'm going to send you out if you don't watch it. You know, those kind of prophecies. Prophecy in the Bible is not only predicting things as they may be. Prophecy in the Bible means to declare something. Was your mom a good preacher? Did she ever preach at you? Give you what for about what for? Kind of prophesy a little bit to you? Well, that's what Solomon's talking about. He said, I'm going to tell you what my mother prophesied to me, what she told me, what she taught me in my life. Now, ladies, here today, I hope we're going to get some examples of what a good mother, a godly mother, should be teaching. And then, of course, we hope we understand that we receive it. Didn't take much for mom to tell you not to touch a hot stove, right? It just took one touch. That's all it took. But as soon as they said, now don't touch the stove, it's hot. As soon as she turned her back, what's the first thing you had to do? You had to touch the stove. Don't look at me like that. Don't look at me like that. Don't say, I never did any such thing. Yes, you did. Yes, you did. But after that, then you believed your mother. But she was right to start with. That stuff that she taught us growing up. My favorite one is make sure you have clean underwear on in case you're in an accident and they take you to the hospital. And I've been in the ER in this hospital dozens of times, fortunately not for myself. I've been there with people who've been shot. I've been there with people who are almost murdered. I've been there with people who are very sick, horrible car accidents, all sorts of things. Never one time did I ever see anybody in the ER say, but at least he's got clean underwear on. I never heard him say that, not one time. So somehow that got missed in its essential ingredients. But it's fascinating, the stuff that your mother teaches. It's moms who started this thing of if you eat, you can't go swimming for 45 minutes because if you do, you'll get cramps. And you know, they found that's not true. Half my childhood was spent sitting by a swimming hole or a swimming pool waiting for the food to get by so I could jump back in. Never happened one time. Anyway, there are a lot of things that they taught us. They taught us about hygiene, about brushing your teeth and changing your clothes and making your bed. And those are all prophecies. They also taught you a lot about life, didn't they? Solomon's mother wasn't a perfect mom, but she taught him things. And here's what I like about it. Solomon here in Proverbs 31, he's an old man teaching his teenage son. Rehoboam will become the next king. And one of the things, after all he's taught him about life, Rehoboam, after he's taught Rehoboam all these things about life, the end of it, he says, let me tell you something my mother taught me. If you go through the book of Proverbs, 14 times he mentions a mother. In chapter 1, he talks about the law of his mother. Yeah, my mom used to lay down the law. And it's the word, interesting word in Hebrew, it's Torah, which is the same as the Old Testament law, the thou shalt not and all that Ten Commandments stuff, it's the same thing. Yeah, my mom used to lay down the law to us. She's a little bitty Texan, my mama, about that tall. And I've seen her do things and say things and handle herself in such a manner. She's married, unfortunately. Now, not my dad, of course, but she married a man. Her second husband was a drunk and used to beat us as children and beat her, too. I seen my mother stand up to that guy and knock him off his feet. First time I ever saw her do that, I turned to my brother and I say, I'm not messing with that woman right there. No way. And when she said, Michael Ray, if you don't do what I say, that was it. It pretty much took care of it for me. The thing I appreciated about my mother was her spankings. She spanked us with a fly swatter. Now, that's a perfect thing to spank a kid with because you can't hardly kill a fly with one of the stupid things. And she would flail away. And when she did that, she would just cry her eyes out because she felt so bad about having to give us a whipping. And she'd say, bend over. I'm going to have to spank you. And she'd grab the fly swatter and she'd flail away with the fly swatter, and it didn't even hurt, to be honest with you. I didn't even feel anything. What hurt me the most was my mother was standing there crying, I'm so sorry, I have to give you a spanking. Please be a good boy. Don't do this anymore. Okay, Mom, it'll be over in a minute. It'll be all right. Don't worry about it. We'll be fine. Let me get done with it. She laid down the law. No, she wasn't a perfect woman. We don't get perfect moms. But Solomon said, let me show you something. Let me tell you something my mother taught me. First thing she taught Solomon was he belonged to God. The name Lemuel means belongs to God. And that's what she taught him. That's why the name is not Solomon. Solomon means asked of the Lord. It's a good name. But his name Lemuel means you belong to God, son. That's what it means. You know, that's what a good mother teaches. She teaches that you belong to God. She teaches them the 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 19 passage. Let me read it to you. What? Know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and ye are not your own, for you are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Now, of course, that is if you belong to the Lord. If you're a child of God, you belong to him. Guess what? You belong to him anyway. See, we got this idea today in society that it's my life. And I'll do what I want. I'll live the way I want. I'll make my own choices. And I'll live the way I choose. Hey, listen. And you can do that in this life as long as you want. Until you die and face God. Then you don't get that choice anymore. Then God will decide where you go, heaven or hell. And it is determined by whether or not you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior. The point is this, friend. Look at me. See, the truth of the matter is his mother taught him, Lemuel is your name. That's a nickname. It literally means, son, you belong to God. And she taught that. Now, how do you teach that as a godly mother? Well, first of all, you teach it by example, by how you live your life. Kind of hard, you know, to do that religious thing people do. Don't do as I say, do as I do. You want to send your kids to spiritual stuff. You want to send your kids to church. You want to send them to stuff that they need. Well, they need to make up their mind, but I'll let them decide on their own kind of junk. Now, listen to me very carefully. The devil won't let them do that. He'll make up their mind for them. That's why you see people have no respect for God and the things of God. None. They go to church and they listen to hymns, they mock them, they think they're funny. They go to places where there's something spiritual and they think it's a big joke. Listen to me now carefully. The truth of the matter is, mom teaches that by example. My mother was a drunk and married to a drunk. I never heard my mother ever discourage me in any way about the things of God. Didn't take us to church, didn't show us the way to go in that respect as far as our direction went. But I never heard her ever put that down, never heard her make fun of it, never heard her belittle it. She wouldn't let us do it. And the truth of the matter is, you say, well, that's not the best way to do it. I agree. The best way to do it, Mom, is you lead and you take them. Don't send them, lead them. And you guys here this morning, come back Father's Day, I'll do the same thing to you too, because that's the way a dad's supposed to do it. But the truth is, she set an example to follow. Then she taught him that because she taught him that there is a God in heaven. And that God in heaven has a right to the breath in your body, and he does. And he has a right to your future, and he does. And he has a right to your eternity, and he will most definitely. See, this is Old Testament. Jesus has not come yet. But even still, Solomon knew and looked forward to the time that Christ would come. She pointed him to the Savior. Solomon knew Christ because she taught him about the Lord Jesus and about his need for salvation. Mom, teach your kids. Not just that there's a God, but that God left heaven and fled to the crimson womb of Mary, was born of a virgin, lived a pure and sinless life to die on the cross for your sins, to go to the grave and rise again 3 days later to give you eternal life as a free gift. Teach them that, Mom. Teach them. Then end their life and your life. Show them that after you get saved, you have salvation. It's not still not your life. Now, one more time, God will let you choose what you want to do in this life, but in the next one, he will decide how things will go. So let's just kind of be careful in our living, shall we? Let's just see that. See, but Pastor, you didn't have a perfect mom. Your mother was a drunk and married to a drunk, and now you're a preacher of the gospel of Jesus Christ. By the grace of God, he oversaw some issues, and that's how it works. It's much easier to have a godly mother who just does the best that she can. Now, ladies, don't feel like there's any pressure on you. Well, I'm going to have to do everything. No, you don't have to do everything. You just have to do your best. You just do your part. If I got to be a preacher of the gospel with a mother who was a drunk, then I suppose God will help us in our lives to realize some issues that our families have. And then everybody will get to that place where we'll make our choice. And we'll make a decision whether or not we embrace the God of our parents, our fathers, and our mothers, or we'll make a decision without that. We still get to choose. He said, let me tell you something my mother taught me. She taught me that I belong to God, Lemuel. You know what a godly mother teaches? She teaches by her warnings. Some people call it nagging, but the truth of the matter is, in the next few verses, verse 3 and 4, he warns. This is Solomon saying, now let me tell you what my mother taught me about women. Now remember Solomon? He had 1,000 wives. That's 999 too many. 1,000 wives. 700 of them were princesses, daughters of kings. If he married one a week, it took him 13 and a half years of weddings every week to marry them one at a time. 700 princes, 300 concubines. He had 1,000 wives. And he said, let me tell you what my mother taught me about women. Apparently, he didn't listen. Then she starts saying, my mother taught me about drink. You know, if you're a king, a leader, and you have to have your mind and faculties about you, you can't get involved with drinking and that kind of stuff. He didn't listen to that one either. But his mother still gave him warning, still said, now, son, here's what you should do. No, I didn't follow every warning my mother gave me. I touched my fair share of hot stoves one time. I did sit by the pool and wait. I did do that. Because she said, you jump in and get cramps, I'm not jumping in after you. And I thought, well, if I drown, that's not fair. So I didn't do that one. But the warnings that my mother gave me in my life, please don't think I'm speaking ill of my mom this morning. She's been in heaven now for several years. My mother was a was a hardworking person. By the way, more than 90% of people who are drunkards in America, call them alcoholics by some degree, more than 90% of them go to work every day and work 40, 50-hour weeks. So it's not like you live in a gutter and you're a drunkard. No, they live their lives and do what they do. I don't recall my brother ever calling in sick. But it was always interesting. We lived in a drunkard's home. We didn't have a piece of furniture that wasn't broken. But nothing was ever messy. We didn't live in filth. We didn't live dirty lives. Once a week on Saturday, we took the house apart and cleaned it top to bottom, front to back. It was house cleaning day. That was the day we all wanted to run away from home. Because everybody had, okay, get ready for the little house in the prairie thing. Everybody had chores. We had chores. You're cleaning this and you're cleaning that. Don't recall her ever asking me if I felt like it. Michael, do you feel up to cleaning the bathroom today? Son, are you in touch with your inner child, and is that going to work out with you to go clean the bathroom today? Because if you don't like it and it doesn't go with what you're thinking, and you might destroy your inner child, Michael, so you don't get up. I don't recall her ever doing anything like that. I think it was go clean the bathroom or else. And the or else always implied the fly swatter and other things that could happen. So I never dealt with that. Now, please, and this is not a method that anybody should use in their life. I had an older brother, older sister, still do. And we do like older brothers and sisters do. We fuss with each other. And my brother and I, especially since we're only 2 years apart, one day she got sick of it, arguing, fussing with one another. She said, that's it. Go in the front room. She pushed all the furniture back against the wall, and she said, here's how it's going to work. Michael, you and Buddy, my older brother, you're going to fight. And she wasn't talking about video games now. This was double knucks going at it. You two are going to fight. The winner is going to fight your sister. She's 6 years older than us. Had fingernails like a creepy monster type, like a zombie dude. And she would shred you to pieces. And then she said, and the winner of that one is going to fight me. Now, that's bad parenting. Don't do that. I didn't say go home and do that. I didn't say push the furniture back and everybody go at it in the front room. I didn't say to do that. I just stood there. My brother and I squared off, and I looked at him, and he looked at me, and I looked at my sister, and I looked at my mother, and I thought, I'm going down in the first round, bro. There ain't no future in this, none whatsoever. He punched me twice. I laid down and went, I quit. And he goes, you big chicken. I go, big stupid. I'm going to go sit on the couch. Got me a bag of potato chips and watched the fight. And then him and my sister went at it, and she shredded the guy. He would not give up. She shredded him. I mean, he was bleeding from everywhere you could think of. She shredded him. By the way, at the end of that one, whatever was left between the two of them, my mother never fought the one who was the winner of it. My sister eventually got him down and just about gouged his eyeballs out, and that was the end of it, and that was the end of the fight. Did you know we didn't argue in front of her after that? You mean never argue again? I didn't say that. I said in front of her. She warned us about things. She sure did. She gave us warnings in life. A good mother gives warnings to her children. You don't let them figure it out. You tell them, Ma, that's why you're there. You've got the wisdom of time and age on your side. Use that. Young people, dear people, listen to me. The warnings your mother gives you, listen to me, when they come from a godly woman, that is a smart thing to follow. And especially you guys, when she warns you about a woman, now this may seem hard for you to grasp, but get it, fellas. She is a woman. And they understand women a lot better than you do, even when you're 16. They still understand better. They understand women. When they say, you better watch out for her, you better watch. That doesn't mean go watch for her. It means watch out for her. This whole chapter 31 starts with this thing of, you better stay away from this kind of woman. Solomon starts saying, my mother taught me what a virtuous woman was. And it's a tremendous part of the chapter. Like about the last 12, 15 verses, he just goes through this whole thing. His mother taught him what a real virtuous woman was like and what a good woman was like and these warnings that are given. A godly mother doesn't sit back and let him figure it out. She tells him, she teaches him, and she lays down the law of the mother. His mother also taught him devotion, her devotion to family and to faith. She has and does love you, I don't know, but you'll get a better understanding of the love of God from anybody than your mother. My goodness. Sometimes we dads, we have a hard time expressing that or showing it by what we do. But mom, somehow or another, mom gets that across real clear, that she loves you. I can still remember in my life times where my mother would, with the difficulties in our house, and we lived here in Reading in the north end of town and over in what was used to be Central Valley what is the name of the other town? I'm drawing a blank. Project City. Now it's all Shasta Lake City, but when we lived in those places, and they would fight, her and my stepfather would fight, and she'd come to the breakfast table in the morning with a black eye and teeth knocked out of her mouth and things like that, and we'd look at her, and we got to hating him, my stepfather, hating him for what he did to her and us. On a few occasions, my mother would sit us and say, "I'm sorry, son. I'm sorry our life is like this, and I'm sorry for the way it is." You say, "Well, she should have done something about it." We'll deal with that in another subject. This morning, she showed it. She at least showed us she had devotion and care. I went across the street one day when my stepfather told me not to as a boy. He came home earlier and caught me across the street, took me in the garage and took out a 2x4 and proceeded to beat me to death with it. My stepmother got between us and stopped him. My little squirt Texan mom got between me and him and stopped him. He would have killed me that day. He was drunk and in a rage. Say, "Pastor, you learned a different kind of devotion, didn't you?" Yeah, it's different than what some of our young people have. Godly church moms try to do their best by their families. It's different. I understand it's a different thing. Let me tell you something. I understood devotion and loyalty from my mother. You see, people, there's something in our country today where we're devoted about that deep and we're loyal about that wide. Huh? About that deep and about that wide. And if you're not there for me, I'm out of here. Oh, great. Fantastic. That's not the way it's supposed to be. The day our grandparents came to get us out of that little house up there in this Central Valley, she had packed up what few items we had left in the household and put them in a bag. And we stood by the couch by the big picture window and waited for our grandparents to come pick us up, take us out of that house. I still remember her tears and how sad she was that we had to leave, but she knew it was what was best for us. We had to get out of that house. We had to. My brother and I were already stealing. She knew where we were headed. We were already doing things we should not do. She knew we had to go. Her loyalty was greater to us than her desire for us to stay in that house. Solomon said, "My mother taught me these things." Throughout this passage and all through the book of Proverbs, when he talks about his mother, he always talks about her in a loyal and devoted fashion. Are you teaching that, Mom? Are you teaching devotion and loyalty to what's right and what's godly? The last thing she taught him was she taught him how to overcome mistakes. Bathsheba was the woman that David cheated on when she was a married woman. She was married to one of David's most faithful soldiers. And David took her, committed adultery with her. They conceived a child. Then David had her husband murdered. So their whole relationship started out wrong. Adultery, murder. I'd call that kind of the wrong direction. Wouldn't you call that the wrong? Well, in society, maybe not anymore. But it's still the wrong direction. And she started out with this whole thing was wrong. Now, when her son Solomon was born, her and David had a child later. Then she becomes this godly lady. You say, "Yeah, that's what's the problem." No, the problem is not, that's not a problem. It's called a testimony. It's called overcoming the mistakes of your past by getting past stuff and getting on with your life. Hey, what a great testimony. Bathsheba, I don't know if she ever told Solomon what the situation was or how her and David ever came together to be eventually husband and wife. I don't know that. I just know that Solomon somehow or another got the idea that the mistakes of his mother were not her life. See, we all make them. The point is this. What do you do once a mistake in life is made? Do you perpetuate it? Make another mistake? Continue to make bad choices? Continue to do things you're not supposed to do and then wonder why life doesn't turn out? Come on! Figure it out! But then again, as someone has once said, failure is an event, not a person. We all make mistakes and we all fail. It happens, yes? It's whether or not you get past that with the grace of God, whether or not you get beyond that. And Bathsheba certainly did. She was a lady who had a past, but she got past those mistakes. And she became a woman who later on influenced one of Israel's greatest kings, who influenced his son by saying, "Son, I want to tell you something that my mother taught me." One more time. I don't speak ill of my mother when I speak of what she did or didn't do in her life. There are things that she helped me with and taught me in my life that I will never forget that are good. We all are going to have to learn to draw from the resource of our past the things that we need for life that makes it right, and leave the mistakes of our loved ones in the past, learn from them, and go on. Let me tell you what my mother taught me, Solomon told his son. Let's stand our feet, please, this morning.